Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now think about this question. Can people who are overweight but regularly exercise have healthier body fat? A recent study by researchers at the University of Michigan found people with obesity who regularly exercised over several years had healthier fat tissue. And here to tell us more, I'm joined by Professor Helen Hennigan, who is consultant bariatric surgeon at St Vincent's University Hospital. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
I think a lot of people will have heard about visceral fat around the waistline or belly fat and the potential health risks of having too much of it. But does it make a difference if you are overweight but you exercise regularly?
Yeah, it certainly does, Claire. So obviously the more people exercise if people exercise to a higher intensity, they will have health benefits from that, even completely independent of weight loss, as this study alluded to. So even if people carry more weight, even into the range where they have either the disease of obesity or a BMI that equates to obese levels, they can maintain relative degrees of good health. So physical activity definitely improves health. I think it's probably a bit of a stretch to say it reduces just visceral fat. There's better evidence than that particular study that would show that if you engage in high intensity and certain durations of activity, that you will reduce all fat depots. So the fat under your skin and the more inflammatory and more dangerous fat, the one that's around and inner organs in the kind of abdominal region, the visceral fat that the study mentioned.
Mm-hmm. But have we seen, and I know this was a small sample study, but have they found that regular exercise has an effect on fat tissue and changes it in some way?
Yes, it definitely does. It reduces both the amount, so the volume of adipose cells, and also, more importantly, what they do. So we know that like the more fat cells in our body can increase in number, but they can also increase in size, which is more concerning. When they do that, they make more inflammatory chemicals. And that's largely what contributes to ill health in people who carry extra weight. So to the so-called metabolically unhealthy obesity, where people can develop higher blood glucose, increased cholesterol, increased blood pressure, and all these metabolic problems that can be associated with higher weight. So it's the inflammatory nature of the bigger fat cells, not so much the extra volume of them, but the bigger ones, that actually can be most dangerous to our health.
Mm-hmm. And the amount of visceral fat that people have, it can be very different. That's down to things like genetics. Is that the case?
Yeah, indeed. There's genetic and to some extent an environmental influence on where you would gain. You know, generally if people gain weight, they can gain it in many different places. But people will report, you know, I gain it in my abdomen. That would be more common in men than in women. And it can vary over different time points in your life. We would see that for women post-menopause, they would have different weight gain, you know, type of weight gain than they may have had previously. So there's a combination of genetic, hormonal and environmental influences on where we would gain weight at different times in our lives. But we see ethnic influences as well. So we would see for lesser degrees of overweight and obesity, people who live in Asia would be far more unhealthy, much higher levels of type 2 diabetes, even in the region we would only call overweight here. So BMIs of 27 plus would be an indication, for example, for bariatric surgery in Asia, whereas here it's over 35. A BMI over 35, and that reflects the health differences in the different ethnicities.
Right, that in itself is really interesting. But just going back to this study, and you mentioned there, you know, people's weight may change as they age. Women and going through menopause and so on may gain some weight. If you regularly exercise when you reach that point in your life, will you gain weight in a healthier way, if I can put it that way?
Yeah, and that's what this study and others have shown, that regular exercise can influence the type of weight gain. It can prevent an increase in this dangerous visceral fat, for one, which is important in preventing the onset of either obesity or preventing it from getting to a more severe level and the complications becoming established. But regular exercise at a high intensity and for a longer duration certainly can decrease the amount of visceral fat, but it would also decrease subcutaneous fat to the same extent. But if, because it's the visceral fat that determines our metabolic health, that's where the real health benefits are shown. And it probably does this through change increasing muscle mass. You know, and there's always crosstalk between muscle and fat tissue. So, you know, it's really important as we get older to do exercise that will preserve our muscle mass. And that's where there's a lot of evidence that resistance or strength training would be far more beneficial as we get older than high intensity aerobic training, you know, because it will preserve our muscle mass. And when our muscles and our fat tissue are talking to each other all the time, that's beneficial in, you know, preventing an increase in the various different fat deposits, particularly the visceral fat.
And I'm sure you'd always express concern about people who might hear something like this, go out and exercise like crazy for 3 months and stop, because that can be as damaging as maybe not doing anything at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what this study does highlight, even though it's small numbers, it's the sustained exercise over a period of time. Like, any exercise is good for our health, but you get more benefit from doing it in a very sustained way. And that's where anything that people do has to be something that they either enjoy doing or find that is something they can incorporate into their daily lives so that it can be sustained in the long term to achieve not just a healthier weight. This is not particularly about weight, but just better health overall.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to the visceral fat, like, you can have people who are not overweight but have a high level of visceral fat. It's almost like invisible fat.
Yeah, I suppose, and you know, it's, and again, this the point about people of different ethnicities. Like I said, you know, you can have people, if you know, someone from the Western world and from Asia, for example, of a similar weight, but at that weight, someone, you know, of different ethnic background can be more unhealthy. And it's not that it's so much invisible, but it's just that fat is far more inflammatory and causing far different health gains. So, you know, visceral fat, you know, when it, whatever amount would you have, is what makes people develop metabolic complications of obesity if they gain more of it. Mm-hmm. Even if that's, and we would often see some people with BMI just in the 30 to 35 range who would be considered mild obesity according to the BMI definitions. But they can have really poorly controlled type 2 diabetes, for example, and other metabolic complications of that weight. And similarly, we'd have some patients who live with much higher weight, so BMIs in the 60s, 70s, who for some reason they're protected from the metabolic complications of obesity. It might be only a fifth of people who have that protection, but we would not see any metabolic derangement in their health at all. You know, they can, but at the same time, they can have other complications of obesity. So, you know, people with overweight and obesity, even if they don't have these metabolic complications, they have probably a 1 in 3 chance of developing some over their lifetime, but they will all still suffer from mechanical complications from carrying extra weight, like joint issues and some breathing issues like sleep apnea or what we call hypoventilation. And functional problems, like just, you know, day-to-day activities will be more difficult with higher weight, even if someone isn't metabolically unwell.
I think I have someone who has just texted us who might be in that category. Let me just bring you the details of this listener who says, sure. I'm a 59-year-old male, I'm 5'7" and 13 stones. So according to the BMI scale, I have obesity. I'm a regular trail runner. I have a resting heart rate of 48. I've just completed a 102-kilometre trail ultra marathon last weekend in 18 hours, and I feel great. Any comments from your expert guest would be interesting.
Yeah, and that's a really good example of where that your listener probably has really high muscle mass that weighs more than fat tissue. And, you know, we would see this as well with people, you know, really high-performing athletes. And rugby players are another good example of people who would fall into a category that would be defined as obesity per the BMI criteria, and would have very good health. Now, that can change over their lifetime. And like I said, carrying that weight as people get older, particularly once physical activity levels fall, can change your body composition. So if people lose that muscle mass, so for example, if that listener got an injury and, you know, maintained the same diet but couldn't maintain that level of activity, that can change. So it's still a risk factor for ill health as one gets older. But that degree of physical activity probably leads to greater muscle mass that will give a higher weight and BMI. Mm-hmm.
But if that person stopped exercising at that level, the muscle might not remain.
Yeah, won't
be muscle after a period of time, right?
Yeah, and that will affect the weight homeostasis in the body.
Mm-hmm. Just on visceral fat, how do you tackle it as an individual? Because you can't say to yourself, right, on Monday morning I'm going to start a new regime and I'm going to tackle my visceral fat. You can't choose to lose it, can you?
No, and that's what all these studies have shown, or better studies than the one we're talking, you know, the Michigan one. So is that when people do engage in higher levels of activity, they probably also do other things. They probably do change their diet, even in the short term. And that leads to all improvements in, you know, all body composition. So they also get a similar reduction in subcutaneous fat as well as visceral fat. And, you know, with low to moderate intensity exercise, it's only about 6% change in fat with exercise. And hypocaloric diet, so decrease in calorie intake as well. To get more better or more changes in visceral fat, probably need to look towards better obesity treatments, such as medication, some of the obesity medications, or even bariatric surgery if someone has, I suppose, enough overweight or obesity and the health problems associated with that to qualify for it.
Helen, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. That's Professor Helen Hennigan, who's consultant bariatric surgeon at St Vincent's. Now, coming up next, paying to share a bed. Brian O'Connell reports on the struggle to find student accommodation.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.